Well, hello, everybody. Thank you so much for being here for the final class in the 2025 DWHSA Summer School. Today, we're taking that last third of the workflow that we sent you for the Destination Weddings. We're talking about everything from we've done all the consultation, we've done the proposal, we've done the contracts, we've got the deposits in, we've started taking the guest reservations, and that's where we got last week. Now, this week, we're finishing up. We're talking about everything from how do you, as the advisor, stay in touch with the destination wedding guest so don't forget about you? How do you answer common questions like price matches? And then we're going to talk about what do you do as the agent as far as ceremony planning? And we'll end up talking about how do you follow up once the couple comes home to turn them from first-time bookers with their wedding into lifelong customers and clients. Now, we're going to record today. In 2 days from now, Friday, September 19th, we'll email everybody with the link to log into the resources page to see the video. And you can go back over this to see any part of it that you want to hear again. You'll have the videos for all three classes, plus the typed up question and answer list through December 31st. Also, you will be getting that again, that questions list. So today, live with us, look on your screen, please, and there's the in the Zoom screen, there is a Q&A question and answer button or icon. You click on that, and that's where you can type in as many questions as your fingers will let you. Type in any questions you want to ask. You can also, if it's easier, go to support at our initials, DWHSA.com. And we're going to take all the, well, you will normally get 50 or 60 questions per class. Some are similar, so we combine them, but all that's going to come back to you on Friday. Now, a lot to cover today. So let's jump into introducing again officially our two speakers. And our start here at the bottom of your screen, you see Tammy Santini up in Michigan. She's the owner and founder of Paradise Getaways. And she also does a ton of training, especially for newer agents on destination weddings. She has her own classes that she does. If you go later, we'll put this link in the follow-up email, destinationweddingtraining.com. It's an easy to remember URL. Tammy, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
And then up in the upper left corner here, a longtime member along with Tammy of the association. In fact, when we had our very first organizing conference, when this association started in 2013, she was one of the first keynote speakers. She has been a destination wedding expert for a long time. She's been a keynote speaker for a, there's a global meeting of destination, really upscale destination wedding planners called the Destination Wedding Planner Congress. And she's been the keynote speaker for them for a couple of years. Lots of other training she's done in this area, speaker for the New York Times Travel Show and lots of things. We're going to say hello to Nancy Barkley, Honeymoons and Getaways in Pennsylvania. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, thanks for having me. And I know I still remember that Chicago event. That was wonderful.
It
So
was wonderful. That was a
people.
long time ago. I think there were about 60 of us, and we were at no fancy all-inclusive resort. We were at a hotel in Chicago, but
Yep,
it was
but
still a great
it
time.
was great.
Yeah. All right. Lots to cover today, folks. Let's jump right in, and we're going to talk about we've gotten all the way to the point past the consultation, the proposals, the contracts, getting the deposits from the couple, all the guests putting their deposits down for their own trips. That's where we were last week. Now, let's talk about what happens between deposits. All the guests are lined up, they're on the dotted line, they're ready to go on the trip, and departures, the day they're going to go out the door to the airport. Sometimes that could be an 8, 10, 12 month period. And sometimes those clients, those guests can kind of forget about us. So they start second guessing whether we gave them the best pricing and so on. So, Nancy, let me come to you. When you've worked with destination wedding groups, how often do you reach out to the guest and the couple after deposits before they depart? How do you stay in touch with them so they keep trusting you?
The first thing I stress to the couples is communication is key. And I think the more communication you have, the better. And I have found to have it all in one single place works the best. as far as a website, to have the wedding websites for the bride and the groom. The more information on there, the better. I mean, of course, all the logistics about the wedding, but also I found it, since I've been doing this for a long time, the frequently asked questions that are going to be there. So to include the frequently asked questions on the website, the international weddings are need to be, I put the travel state department on there. Sometimes people put the RSVPs on there. So I start out by doing the website and having all the information there. And sometimes, and it is so important to keep in touch with people, but sometimes it goes on too many emails or just too much. So don't you feel that way? You get so many emails, you're like, oh my gosh, stop. And then also, I really sit down with the bride and groom and get their perspective from it, saying, you know your guests, you know how they're going to come. And it also, different generations want different things. Some people just want things texted to them. They don't want it email. They just want it in a text. And then to the opposite end of the spectrum, I've dealt with some people, grandmoms and grandpops that aren't tech savvy. So they, yes, want something printed, put it in the mail, postage stamp, and mail it to them. So I take my cue from the couple and how they feel, how many touch points their guests need, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Tammy, along with the training you do all year long, you do a ton of groups yourself. How do you approach this?
Well, much like Nancy, I also have a wedding web page that I set up for my clients, and I have the information, for the guests on there, the information that they need to know, and then I have an opt-in form. So I have every guest opt in to get more information about the wedding, and that allows me to be able to have an email campaign set up that's kind of automated. And then, so at first, I'm just reminding them, hey, don't forget about Drew and Kelly's wedding. And, here's how you can book, and here, maybe answering a few questions or just letting them know what the booking deadline is, just little reminders like that. And then once they do book, then I move them over into a campaign that's set up, an email campaign that's set up that is going to drip out, information later on that, because they've already reserved. And so, we're welcoming them, having, but with AI now, here's the, that you guys might be thinking, oh my gosh, what? This sounds like craziness. Like, here's the thing. Once you do this, this is kind of like a front loading communication. I'm sure Nancy would agree, is like front loading, right? And so once you do this for one group, then you'll be able to duplicate it and just change out some of the specifics for another group. And with AI, you can write emails a lot easier that make you sound better and clearer, because you know how sometimes like you write something out and you think you are communicating well because this is just like how you talk or whatever, but then you realize, okay, that maybe isn't as clear as it could be. That's why we have AI now. It makes us all sound better, smarter, and we're actually clearly communicating what it is that we're trying to say so that we're not bringing up other questions. But I think also having like an FAQ, but that's kind of how I do it because I think that initially people need to be reminded of, what's in it for them to attend this wedding, how great it's going to be, how fun it's going to be, what their deadlines are. And then once they do reserve, the things that they need to know after that, and just reminders. And keeping in touch with them at least once a month. Because what we find in this industry, of course, is that people will book and it could be 6 months or even a year sometimes before the actual wedding. And so they don't know what's going on. And now we've got group contracts that require several payments. And so I think communicating regularly is important. And I think also considering the text option, for some of these groups, depending on, what the bride and groom prefer.
Agreed. And some even now want the WhatsApp and the Facebook. And
Right.
so you're like going in 500 million directions.
Yep.
I know.
Nancy, let me ask you first, and I'll go back to Tammy. Let's talk about that wedding website. Do you mind sharing, how do you put the wedding website together, Nancy, for your people? Do you set up like a separate page on your agency website that's kind of just for them? Do you use a separate program like Zola or AppyCup? How do you
You
set
know
up those
what?
websites?
I'm going to be fully transparent. I did at one time have my own website, and that got to be into its own thing in itself. So I have found that most of the couples all want to use Zolo. I mean, that's like who they want to use, and that's who they're using. So yeah. And then they have, they're adding on to that and adding on to that. Sometimes they're putting their shower registry on there. I mean, it just gets to be, more information. And then sometimes I can suggest things to add to that because they want to see what other guests are going, and then they can get together to do things. But for me, I did back in the day do my own, but now honestly Zolo is my go-to, and I am not affiliated with Zolo, so I
Yeah,
can't
we're not
recommend
getting paid, unfortunately,
that.
to recommend them.
I know I should. If
Fairness.
anyone from Zolo's on here, I've been using here.
Yeah. Tammy, what about you?
So we have a wedding webpage that we put on our website. And so it's just a, it's not something that you can find from like the menu or anything like that. But it's just a page that we put on there, and it has all the information that they need, and kind of gets people all lathered up and excited about going to the wedding. And so we kind of, we personalize that, and then we have that opt-in form for people to get more information. And I usually work with Classic Vacations, and so then I direct them from, once they fill out the form, I direct them automatically to that group, that custom group website. But what I've found, and what I teach in our in my programs and stuff too, is that when we put this web page on our website, not only is that good for Google to know like we're active, we're like doing something on our website, we're not just sitting there and not ever making changes, right? But it's also like really good for SEO, because if somebody else, I got business over the years just from hosting a destination wedding group, and somebody found the page and they're like, hey, I saw that you did a wedding at XYZ resort for so and so couple, and we want to do the same thing. So it's like actually could help you in the end with, because I just leave it up. I mean, nobody needs to, because nobody's going to just find it, from my menu or whatever. So that's what we do personally, and that works really well. But I think it's different every time, based on even where you send people and how, and the booking process too. You have to just be able to be flexible with the needs of the couple, maybe how quickly the turnaround has to be, if it's last minute, all of those things. So it's not always just the same for everybody.
Okay. And one more follow-up here, Tammy, I'll go to you first. That distance between deposits and departures, you both of you send out a lot of communications back and forth. Can you share just some of the common topics you cover? Do you do the usual packing checklist, and what's the weather going to be like during the wedding week? And what are some of the things you send out messages about?
So for me personally, I'm going to send out reminders of, the deadlines that they have to know. Like, you cannot over communicate deadlines of any kind, payments, final payments, that sort of thing. Of course, any sort of welcome. I would send out, like, if let's just say the couple hasn't registered yet. But they finally decide to register and do a registry for their honeymoon or whatever, then I would send out an email that would include a link to that so that people can check out their registry. I do, passport reminder type emails. I'll do like the step program, so people can, feel more secure or safe about traveling. So just those types of reminders, reminders to book their flights, reminders that I'm going to need their flight information, all the little things like that. I don't necessarily always do like checklists. I do like final tips and reminders that kind of include some of that, but I don't do like checklists for packing or anything like that. I just do I try to drip things out so it's not overwhelming, because when you get closer to travel, that's when you're like really sending out a lot of emails and reminders for people. So, and then yeah, because if I like email out their documents, like I'll send out a separate email, like, did you get them? Like, because I want to make sure people got them and they open them, they read them, all of those things.
Okay. Nancy, is it the same with you?
Yeah, and you know, it's just probably everyone's going to be nodding their heads. Like, you can send out as many emails, but like 4 days ahead of time, they're going to start reading them, right? And then they're going to come back with the questions like, oh, this one you sent 6 months ago. Absolutely everything that Tammy said, 100%. And then depending on the destination, I'm really into like the cultural sensitivity. So like where you're traveling, if there's certain things that like do's and don'ts. To respect the culture. And again, that's where you're traveling. That's something that'll add. And then just towards the end, try to make it fun. Like, read me. Did you read me? Not now, not the day before you're leaving. So
Right.
pretty much like that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about policies, common issues that come up during that period when everybody's just kind of waiting for the wedding day to get closer. Name changes, price matches, where someone's found the deal of a lifetime on the internet and they haven't read the fine print. But they're already claiming you haven't gotten them a great deal and they want you to match the price. There are lots of things like that that come up. Tammy, let me come to you first. What are some of the common issues like that that come up where you have learned over the years you have to set some policies about how you're going to handle things like price match requests?
And believe me, when you are doing a destination wedding and you have one guest that literally has changed their girlfriend 3 times since booking their reservation, you realize I don't want to keep, because the more we touch a reservation, the less money we're making, right? Because every time we go in and make a change, we got to update the invoice, all the different things, pay our team to do it, whatever it might be. So I do have a, you can do one change to your reservation. After that, I have a fee that I charge for the change. Now, I will let you know that if the change is for the positive, like we're going to upgrade our room, we're going to stay an extra night where I'm making more money, then I'm like, okay, let's do it. You know, this is good for me. But a lot of times changes are like, we're not doing 4 nights anymore. Now we're doing three. I'm like, well, I'm losing money to make this change for you. Then, you know, you've got to have some standard rules of operation that you have within your group, in my opinion. And so I have that kind of stuff on my invoices. I have late payment fees and that sort of thing. And so those are some policies that I have. Price matching, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. We are hired to work for our bride and groom. And we want to make them happy and we want to make their guests happy. And so that's why you work with a supplier who's got your back and is a good partner, who can, you know, go to bat for you. And it really, really stinks when that kind of stuff happens, because usually it's around like some sort of holiday and they got some sort of flash sale and it's like the rate's good for 24 hours and you're like scrambling. You know, but you just kind of have to, you have to really let them know that you're for them and that you're going to do the best that you can. But then that's also where we have to remind them of the benefits of that guest staying with the group and booking with the group. And that's why we also have to communicate that really clearly with the bride and groom, like the benefit of those guests, booking with the group.
Sure. Nancy, what about you? What policies do you put in place?
You know what? I try to always start by managing expectations to start with, who is ever going to be financially responsible for the wedding. Sometimes it's the bride and the groom, sometimes the parents are paying, but when it goes into to doing the contracts and the price matching, you really need to be transparent and say like, this is what you are. I mean, this is before attrition kicks in, but this is like what you're obligating to. And you really have to say, if you know your guest or booking out of the room block, or if they're going here and we don't have what it meets, like you have to just put it back on them. Like this is what you could be financially responsible for. And I think that puts more on whoever is doing the wedding to make sure. Now, it doesn't always work that way, but you know, you need to start that way to tell them that this is what is going on with fun with the prices. And you know, like Tammy said, with the price matching, it's a headache. I mean, it really is, because it is. When you find the lower one, it's always, and you know the resorts it's going to be. If you've been doing this long enough, you know it's the resorts that are offering the lower fares, because, and you know, and if the guest does take it, they're going to be out by the alley by the trash can, because that's where the rooms are allocated, that they're doing the prices. But you can't tell them that. As far as air goes, again, I'm going to be transparent, like I was with the websites. I stopped doing air. I just completely stopped booking air. So I don't have that problem. I mean, I guide, you know, and I'll tell them where they fly into, of course, and you know, make sure you have 6 months valid and everything else. But I just direct them to the airline's website or use your points or however it is that you book your air.
Yeah.
So I'm done with the
100,
air.
100 agree.
Done with the air.
Yeah. Okay. Well, folks, I know in an hour's time it feels like we're just whiplashing you from topic to topic, but there's a lot to do in this final third of the DW workflow. We do a ton of training in-house for members, and a lot of the topics we're about to jump into, like how involved do you as the agent want to get in the ceremony planning? We actually have whole webinars devoted to that single topic. So today we're hitting some highlights. And Nancy, I think it's your turn here. Over time, how have you thought about the question of how involved, Nancy, do you want to be in the typical couple's ceremony planning? Do you want to just introduce them to the on-site wedding coordinator and say, good luck, let me know if you stop hearing from the resort, otherwise it's all you and the coordinator? Or have you ever thought about getting involved and actually being the couple ceremony planner, like staying involved in the process? How have you thought about that question?
I've actually gone on site to several weddings. If and that really depends on what kind of destination wedding planner that you want to be. And whatever you pick is wonderful and it's great. I mean, there's more of the hands-off, which you had said, where you're basically doing the room blocks and all of the groups, and you're going, because a lot of the resorts out there, you know, they have good wedding planners that you can work with. I honestly do more non-all-inclusives and different venues. So it's a little bit different for me. If you are going, and I'm pointing, I take it for, I've worked weddings. You really need to search deep if you want to do it, because I did a very large Indian wedding in Costa Rica where I was on site. And you're really committing to that. Like you're really, really committing to that. And also, and I can go into, and you can look at my website and all the things that I've written. If you are going to have a larger destination wedding, and quite honestly, I work with a lot of DMCs versus tour operators, and you're going to be on site, I can't stress this enough, 100% work with local wedding vendors that are vetted. So with that said, when I did do the wedding in Costa Rica and I did work with a DMC and the resort had a wedding planner, we still hired a local wedding planner because they're going to know the ins and outs and they're going to get things done, because, and I'm not being negative, but something's always going to go wrong at a wedding. It might be small, it might be huge, but something's always going to be there. So you really need to know the ins and outs and have the people that are going to be there. And you really need to put it all in. Like if you're going to be on there, you have to be prepared. I actually my meeting point started, I'm in Philly. My meeting point started at the Atlanta airport. That's where I pretty much corralled everybody. And then we took the same flight into Costa Rica. But you know, you're the grand transportation. you're going to get that call in the middle of the night that they want their bar stocked. I mean, like if you're really committing to it if you're going to do that. And then there's also, you can do hybrid. You can do a little bit of each. And it's really how involved the person wants to get. If you just want to really do more of the group bookings and work with the all-inclusives, there's great ones that you can work with. And there's some that never get back to you, but that's live and learn.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Tammy, I know you and your agency obviously did a ton of groups. How have you approached this question?
So, for me personally, I have never been on site in my whatever 16 years of doing destination weddings. I have never been on site. I do have a little line in my list of services that they can inquire about it, and that it's an extra cost, and people will inquire about it. But generally, I'm just really frank with them. Like, especially depending on where I'm sending them, what we're doing. Like what Nancy said, like if you are doing an offsite venue, or if you're not at an all-inclusive and they don't really have this well-oiled machine like the all-inclusives do, then there are times when you are going to need to like really play it by ear and guide your client accordingly. But I've personally not done that. Of course, in my community, I coach people that if you are going to add that type of level of service, like it is a separate cost, and you need to keep in mind that it's not just a, oh, I'm going to be there for 3 days or whatever. Like you have to know that I will not be able to help any of my other clients for 3 or 4 days. I'm 100, and then you have to have really strict guidelines on what it is that you will do and what you won't do and what hours you're available, because otherwise you're literally just 24/7 concierge if you don't put those and make it really, really clear on your contract. So I just always want people to like really factor that in, that you're going to be on duty, but you need to be clear when you're on duty and the things that you will be responsible for while you're there, because people take advantage. If there's no clear, there's nothing clear, they're just gonna be like, well, I'll just call. Oh, it's like, no thanks.
So, folks, if you're listening in today and you're just getting started in destination weddings, this is a really important question you have to ask yourself as you're starting into this niche. And we recommend from the association side that maybe at the beginning, as you're doing your first destination wedding, your second, your third, even if you already are a wedding planner, let's say you're a local domestic wedding planner and you're getting into the travel side of things. We do recommend that at the start, you think about turning all the ceremony planner details over to the coordinator and the couple at the start until you get your feet wet with the travel side of things, because it's a little more complex putting this group together. And then over time, as you do more destination weddings, you will have to ask yourself this question: am I going to get more involved in the ceremony planning? And it was great to hear the perspective of our two instructors today, because they've kind of approached it from different angles. One goes on site, one has never been on site. So any approach you want to take is good. Whatever's best for you is what makes sense. But in the beginning, let the coordinators work on this at the resort, on the ship. That's what they're paid for. But you can also then have some time to think about, do I want to get involved and be a ceremony planner? I think it was Nancy who mentioned, for sure, you have to think about charging a fee above and beyond any travel-related service fees. And then I thought Tammy had an excellent point about your contracts, your client agreement that the client signed with you that would spell out what you will do for them as the wedding couple and what you will not do for them. And you really need, as she said, just got to have a bullet point list. Here are the many things I will do for you for this destination wedding trip. And we even recommend maybe having a second list. Here are specific things our agency does not do for you. If you don't do wedding websites, for example, it's great to have a bullet point there in that client agreement. Before we switch now, we're going to go to another big topic and talk about outside vendors. But can you guys think of anything else about the whole question of ceremony planning that we didn't mention?
I would just like to say, to your point, if you have planners or agents on here that are just starting out, one of the biggest benefits to joining the association is all the resources that you have that would be able to help them, especially with the resorts, with the all-inclusives. If you're just starting out, you have, I believe, you had that big Excel spreadsheet in there of all the different resorts and everything. So that's just another plus to join because you really have all the resources right there for you.
Yeah, thank you for that. We actually, on Monday, this coming Monday, we're starting every fall. We do a certification program called the Certified Destination Wedding Ceremony Planner Program. So if you want to go in that direction and charge more fees to be a ceremony planner, you can certainly work on that with us. Okay. Tammy, I tell you what, I think it's your turn. And here's a thorny topic we'll throw at you. Many of us who work in destination weddings have dealt with the every time we deal with this question of, are we going to work with the resorts or are the cruise ships, in-house vendors, photography, flowers, food and drink, musicians, officiant, or are we going to work with outside vendors, off-site vendors? And it's a really general question, but do you have any tips about when we help our couples work with off-site vendors? How do we help pick them, and how do we deal with some of the exorbitant outside vendor fees that some of these resorts charge?
I think that, really we just have to advise our clients, and because a lot of times they don't understand the process and why the expense is there. And I think that for certain things, it is definitely worth it. Like if you know that your couple, like photography, videography is like the premium, the most important thing that they're doing, to capture their day. Then you know that if they look at the work of the vetted vendors that are allowed on site and they're like they're not feeling it, then it's worth it for them to pay that $1,000 vendor fee to get, because you can't redo it. You can't redo it. So you have to kind of just weigh it out when it comes to the specific thing. I think a lot of times people think they're going to save money by doing, choosing an outside vendor for flowers or whatever. But I don't think that's always going to be the case, especially once you pay a fee. But I think the main thing is really just like letting your couples know, like, hey, there's a reason why they do this, and it's because that this resort is responsible for the safety of every single guest that is on site. And if you bring somebody from outside of who they've vetted, who they've worked with, and they're just traipsing around the resort doing God only knows what, and you're just giving them free rein. Like they're responsible. That resort is responsible. That's why they do that. That's why they, put that in place. And obviously, we all know also it's because they're going to make more money when they can, charge the fees or whatever, and work with those vendors. But a lot of times, if you when it comes down to like decor and stuff, they can get it. They can get what people want. I mean, the customization is there. They have enough contacts to be able to get the decor and different things that people want. So, I would say when it comes to especially the all-inclusive, most of the time you're not really going to need the help of outside vendor. And if they want, and when it comes to photography, they could just bring someone from the US as long as that person knows how to travel and bring that equipment and not get into a situation with work permits and whatnot. As a guest, as long as they stay the 3 nights or whatever, then they should be good, but just find out, right? Find out and don't assume anything. Always ask.
Tammy, do you find that is photography probably the most common offsite vendor request you deal with?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Nancy, you've planned some amazing ceremonies. I know you do a lot in Italy, for example. So you must work with quite a few offsite vendors. What lessons have you learned that you pass on?
I think the lesson starts with going and knowing your client. I think that's what it's all about. So, you sit down and you have your first, however you do it, in office, Zoom, your first hour consultation. You really try to get to know your clients and what they want, because a lot of times couples, they're fine. they're fine with the all-inclusives and the packages that they offer, knowing that they might have, what, eight different packages to choose from, and that's what they want. That's just they want to pick out a package and they want to do it and boom, and it's done. But then a lot of couples, like what Tammy was saying, if you don't do it, just allows for more creativity. It allows for more of everything when you go with outside vendors. But when going with outside vendors, when you're doing even a resort that is, it might not be a venue, it might be a resort, it might be a castle, it might be whatever. Then you get into a lot more. You get into permits. You have to know the time restraints. You have to know the ins and outs of where you're having it, the customs, and that's where I can go on a whole thing about wedding planners because I just work with a lot of, even though I'm coordinating, I don't consider myself a wedding planner. I consider myself more of a destination wedding coordinator because I work with so many people and I have such a group of global vetted partners that I work with that I think that's very paramount and it's very important as well. So when you're starting out, it's a little, I don't want to say tougher, but you really need to get to know your vendors if you're going to start for the person that's just starting out. If you're just starting out, I would suggest here, let me reframe this. I would suggest if you're doing your first or second wedding to go with maybe an all-inclusive or a resort that has packages in place before you go trying to look and getting all your vetted vendors in place just to get your feet wet with it so you know what you're doing. And
Yeah.
again, that's if the couple's fine with it. But I really think if you're just starting out, I think that's a great resort. When I first started doing this, I'm dating myself now. Resorts did not have wedding planners. I'm going to say that again. All of these wedding planners at the resorts, they did not have them. So when I was doing, my first in Mexico or in the Caribbean, I was actually going down there because the resorts did not have the wedding planners. And it has evolved so much that if you're just starting out and can work with an on-site wedding planner at the resort, I think that's a good way to start.
Yeah, that's the perfect segue. That's our very next topic is how do you build a good relationship with that on-site coordinator? When you are doing, especially like the international weddings, Nancy, do you with the outside vendors that you might be working with, do you do like a contract with them? Do you like at least maybe email them like anything in writing? How do you kind of protect yourself and the client when you're working in some place like Costa Rica or Italy with these offsite vendors?
A lot of them I go through, like when I did the one in Costa Rica, to be specific, I can tell you exactly what I did. I went with a vetted DMC, whom I love, and they had, so my contract was with the DMC, and then they in turn had contracts with the local vendors. So I was able to do it through them. With that said, still transparent, you need to take so, and that's where it gets kind of, you need, I can get in the whole thing about liability and insurance, but I mean, that's a whole nother webinar. But when you're doing the contracts, you need to be transparent again to whoever's financially responsible for the wedding and the terms that you being the agent are signing. You need to turn it over and have the other person sign that as well. You need to mirror the contract and be transparent with it and turn it over to them. And so they know what exactly is going on. So I would try to do it all through one contract to answer your question. And they would be able to put it out that way.
Okay. All right. Folks, just a quick thank you for AIC Hotel Group. You know, that's the Hard Rock Hotel people, Hard Rock Resorts people. That's Unico, which is expanding. They're going from one property now to four. They are the exclusive sponsor for us for this whole class that we've done and helped underwrite a lot of the expenses of having so many of us, several hundred people now on Zoom right now. I just want to thank them. Remember, you're going to be hearing from your local BDM in the next few weeks. They have like super expanded their BDM force, and that's going to be a great resource for you getting started in Best Issue Weddings. Because their mission is they're supposed to reach out all of you who are newer to Best Issue Weddings and help you get started. So just be aware that's coming. And we had a couple of questions here about membership. We're not doing any commercials today about that. I just want to mention we have a member who is doing a special promotion for us. Her agency is paying $50 of your first year's dues if you join. So that's why you haven't heard us do any commercials. We're going to be emailing that out to you after the classes. All right. Speaking of tough things to talk about, Nancy, I think it's your turn. These on-site coordinators are notorious. They're very helpful, and they're all their hearts are in the right place. But sometimes when resorts hire them, you remember a day when there weren't any. Now there are a lot of them, but they also don't always have a lot of experience. The turnover is legendary. You might have a 12-month agreement for a Best Issue Wedding, and by the time the wedding day gets here, you're on your fourth, not exaggerating, your fourth coordinator. And of course, they're working for the resort or the cruise line. They're not really working for the couple. So let me ask you, any tips you would share about how you as the advisor can help your couple work with the coordinator and build a good, trusting working relationship with that on-site person?
So yes, you're right on the money. I've done weddings where by the time the person got married, it was the fourth wedding planner. I mean, because the turnover is unbelievable. And I try to build relationships not just with the wedding planner, which is key. And I always go in as humble, and I'm in the background, and you are in charge. And you know, we are working together for this couple, for the wedding. And to just go in there and say, you know, it's your show, but we need to coordinate all of this. But what I have found is that turnover for general managers aren't as much. So why I also try to build my relationships with the on-site coordinators, I also try to build them with the general manager as well. So if I know I'm going to have a wedding somewhere, I'm being on LinkedIn just because I just am. So I'm linking in like the general managers of these resorts and getting to know them. And to that end, that's if you're working with a resort that maybe you're not going through a tour operator. But if you're going through a tour operator, or if you're going through somebody, you know, like you were saying, AIC, then you also, it's paramount to piggyback the BDM. So, I mean, you know, you give the wedding planner so many times, and then if you're working with an all-inclusive and they're not getting back to you, that's when you go to your BDM for your hotel and try to get them involved.
Okay, yeah, great tips. Tammy, I'm sure you could share some horror stories about coordinators. What lessons would you pass along?
Well, I think one of the things, because I agree with everything that Nancy said, but just when you think about like each brand kind of does things differently when it comes to the planning side. And so I think that what we have to do is to, you know, let our couples know, like, this is how this process is going to look when we're planning your wedding, because they get caught off guard if they don't know, if they think they can get started, because sometimes they can't get started right away. You know, some people are very proactive and they book their wedding a year and a half in advance, which is great. But we have to let them know right away, like, there's going to be some long silences here, because we're not going to start the wedding planning right away, because this particular brand allows you to start doing that interaction at whatever, you know, however many months beforehand. Like, you just have to let them know what that expectation is. And then when it comes to, yeah, the turnover. So I especially see turnover a lot of times when it comes to, we're working with potentially a stateside coordinator initially, and then it gets turned over to the on-site team. So again, letting the couple know that too, and just letting them understand that, yeah, you have a different coordinator now, but all of the notes and all the things that you've discussed are all on a spreadsheet. Everything's in a database, so you don't have to fear. And then they need to know, like, whatever, let's just say that their policy is 3 weeks before the wedding, it gets turned over to the on-site team, whatever the policy is for that particular resort. So if you're new, you want to ask these types of questions up front so that you know the process, so that you can make sure that you're helping your couple along with this process. And because like I said, every brand is going to do things differently. And I think just letting couples know what that process is and what they can expect will help alleviate some of that stress and that, like, because brides get very like, they're not responding to me. Tammy, help me out. They're not responding. And then, but when it comes to like the relationship, like I like to introduce myself. I let them know kind of, my role in how I, how I'm fitting in with this planning with them and how we're kind of, partnering, collaborating to, for this wonderful couple who's getting married, blah, blah, blah. So, that kind of a thing, if I've never met them, that's kind of how I start things out. And then that's a good time then to open up that dialogue of what is your process so that I can make sure that I know. And then I try to, I kind of do have a little bit of a hybrid approach most of the time. And so I do try to join those meetings when they're doing the wedding planning so that I just know what's up, and so that they're that the wedding coordinator or planner, whoever we're meeting with, like knows me, and we can create that relationship rather than it just being email.
Yeah. So a couple of some great takeaways there. One is even if you as the agent have decided you're not going to get involved in the nitty-gritty details of planning the ceremonies, it is great to stay in the loop of the communication and just make sure that your couples are getting some responsiveness from the resort or the supplier, and maybe sitting in on a couple of those calls so you can stay in that loop. And then Tammy, I'm sure that you probably run into a situation where couples, brides especially, think of that on-site coordinator as like their cousin Susie for a hometown wedding. And cousin Susie's been hired as the wedding planner for the hometown ceremony, and she's available 24/7, 12 months in advance. And you must run into some resorts where they don't even open the folder for the couple to even look at their ceremony planning until 30, 60 days before, and couples get nervous about that.
Yeah, but I think that, you just have to again let people know, like the reason is because, a lot of times there's so many decisions that you're making, you make a lot of changes along the way. And of course, I do recommend my couples do site visits. I set up a lot of site visits, probably I would say more than 50% for sure of my couples will do a site visit. I think that that's the best way for them to feel really 100% confident in their what destination wedding coming together, meeting that on-site person, but making like a lot of decisions on site, so they can just kind of get it done with. But also, I think just the fact that there are, we have to understand how this whole process works, where there, yes, there are wedding planners that are coming to the forefront now, but still not every resort has a wedding planner. And what a couple thinks a wedding planner does versus what a wedding coordinator does are two completely different things. And a lot of times, I like to describe a wedding coordinator as an order taker. And I know that sounds horrible, but it's the easiest way for your couple to understand, like, they're not really helping you plan it. They don't really know how to plan the whole grand scope of things, but they're going to give you a catalog and they're going to say, you need to pick this and you need to pick this and you need to let us know what you want for this and you need to let us know what you want for this. And then you send it to them and then they're going to get you a price. They're not, really orchestrating. They're not taking your vision and putting it all together and creating a mood board for you. They're not doing, do you know what I mean? It's different. But there are some resort brands that do actually have a wedding planner. So, anyway, I know it's there's so many little nuances. I hope I haven't just made people think I gotta run from this.
No, and we tried to stress that all the way through this three-part course. We are hitting the highlights. And we hope you will consider joining us because we do a ton more training on each of these little topics. But Tammy, I'll come back to you for this last question. Let me warn both of you. I want to take a little different tack maybe than what we talked about earlier. I want to wind up with a question here. I want to ask you, what do each of you do to follow up with the couple once they've gone through the wedding? Everybody said I do. Everybody's happy. Nobody burned down the gazebo at the reception. Everything went great. And they're on their way home. I want to ask both of you in your agencies, how do you follow up with a couple once they come home from the wedding trip? Let me mention quickly, on Friday, 2 days from today, we'll email everybody. It'll have just a note that in that resources page, that is the password. Today's video will be there. The last two videos are already there. We'll also have the typed up list of questions today. Remember, you can type in questions today on that Q&A button or send a whole list of questions if you want to support@dwhsa, our initials, .com. Tammy, let me start with you first. And the couples come home, they're happy. What steps do you take to follow up with them when they get home?
So I do have automation that goes out to the couple, to every single guest. I do have an automation, like a welcome home. And then I ask them, how things went and if they would like to share some photos. And some people will respond and share photos. Of course, if it's a positive response, then I will say, would you mind copying and pasting that and putting it on this, to give for a review, and then just give them the link. And you just got to make that type of stuff super simple, and like it's not going to take them very much time to give you a review. So so I'll do that sort of thing when it comes to like all of the guests. When it comes to the couple themselves, of course, I do reach out after they've had a little bit more time at home and just congratulate them and call them Mr. and Mrs. whatever the last Jones or whatever the last name is, and welcome them home and that sort of thing. And reach out that way, and just kind of just get a little bit of a debrief with them, and if they have when their photos are ready, I'd love to see them, that kind of thing. But just really wishing them the best and giving my congratulations and that sort of thing. Because I'll send them like a gift. Sometimes I send gifts when they hire me. Sometimes I send gifts when they hire me and when they come home. Sometimes I just do the at-home gifts. Sometimes I'll just participate in their registry, that kind of thing. So that's kind of the initial part of welcoming them back.
Okay, great, great, very helpful. Nancy, you do a lot of international weddings, I'm sure, outside the all-inclusive sector. So, is there anything different? Tell us your process when a couple comes home.
Basically follow up. I try to give it like a personal phone call to see how everything was. You can kind of monitor it and know how things are going because you can just look at their social media. So if you're not on site as the wedding planner, like you know the how it's pretty much how it's going to react. If it's not going too good, maybe I'll shoot them an email. But no, I'm kidding. But just call and follow up to see how things are. Photos, like Tammy said, photos are everyone loves to see photos. So then, especially with the pretty backdrops. So if you get the photos, I sometimes ask permission if I can put them on my Facebook or my Instagram and then tag everybody because then everybody's seeing what you're doing and tagging the hotel, the 500 million tags, the hotel, the vendor, the blah, 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 blah. Because the more people you tag, the more people that are sharing the happy couple. So that's one thing. Also, again, hopefully if it went well, that's like a great opportunity to ask for testimonials if you're on whatever you're on. I mean, wherever your platform is that you have your information, even if it's just your own website, if you're on the Knot, if you're on the whatever you're on, so you can get testimonials for farther weddings. And then the guests, just to get a feeling, like if you a lot of times the best referrals are from your own destination wedding. So if you reach out to the guests to see how they're doing and they had a really great time, that might be your next referral for your next wedding, just by keeping in touch with them. So yeah, just a combination of everything. And again, it could be the text because some people won't detect.
Yeah. True.
Don't email me, I don't check them. Just text me.
Yeah. Well, folks, as we start wrapping up this third and final class in this three-part program, it's great to sell family vacations, very fulfilling. Families love going on trips. Business travel can be very fulfilling and make a little money doing that. I've just found over the years that there's no better feeling to me, and I think Nancy and Tammy would agree, than knowing that at the end of a busy week, you're tired, but you know that you've helped a couple put together what are supposed to be some of the trips of a lifetime, their destination wedding, maybe their proposal or engagement trip where somebody popped the question, the honeymoon for sure. But then every year, there's anniversary trip opportunities, vow renewals. Nobody's waiting for milestone anniversaries anymore, like the 25th. There are a lot of millennial couples that will do a vow renewal every year. As long as their credit card works, we'll book whatever romantic trip they want. But I really applaud you. And I'm sure all of our members, 850 of us in the association, really salute you for taking some time. Not a lot of agents would do what you've done to go through three classes like this. We've covered a lot quickly. Just be aware we're going to follow up with you really now through the end of December. We won't flood you with emails, but every few weeks we'll touch base with you. We want to share some more videos with you, some training materials. You don't have to be a member through the end of this year to participate in all. We're going to be just emailing you every few weeks with some things we think will help you get started. We're always here for you at the support email address, support@dwhsa.com. Even if you don't join by the end of the year, that's okay. We are an agent-run group. We do not allow suppliers to join. We're only agents. And you see, that's why members like Tammy and Nancy give up time out of their busy agencies to do something like this. We had six speakers for this series, and I'm so grateful for the two today because between the two of them, their agencies have helped hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of destination wedding couples. Tammy is legendary for the training that she offers. Remember, you could check out our website, destinationweddingtraining, easy to remember.com. Nancy is a legend spreading the word around the world about destination weddings. I mean, she's been a keynote speaker everywhere for top-level media on this very topic. So I just want to say a quick thanks again, Tammy Santini, owner of Paradise Wedding at Paradise Getaways in Michigan. Tammy, thank you so much. You're so knowledgeable about this whole field, and I appreciate you taking some time today.
You're most welcome. My pleasure.
Very pure heart wanting to help agents get started with the training she does. So check her out. And then my good friend Nancy Barkley, who was with us from the very beginning before there was even a DWHSA website. You were traipsing off to Chicago on a promise that there was going to be a group put together. Nancy Barkley is the owner of Honeymoons and Getaways in Pennsylvania. Nancy, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you. And I still remember that day, and it was wonderful. And I met so many great people, and a lot of them were still with the organization. And it's
Yeah.
great to see them on social media and how great everyone's doing.
Folks, the last thing we'll say is don't get discouraged getting started in this niche. In our experience, romance travel in general, it has a longer lead time to get started. But more than other travel niches, once you hit some momentum and start getting on the other side of that hill, I'm thoroughly convinced it's one of the most dependably profitable niches in the entire travel industry. So again, thank you for being here. Good luck with all this. Reach out to us, support@dwhsa.com, anything you need. And we'll touch base in 2 days with today's video and Q&A list. Thanks, Nancy, Tammy,
Thank
everybody.
you.
Thank you all
Thank you,
so
guys.
much. Have a good rest of the day. Bye.
Bye-bye.
God bless.